Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video, and sorry for the prolonged hiatus. Bunch of things have happened, you know, that have stopped me making videos, mostly health reasons. I was battling all kinds of infections. You know, I had a throat infection, then a chest infection. That was sandwiched by eye infections. My eye's still not 100%, as you can probably see there. I've had three eye infections in the last 4 months relating to this ongoing condition I've got. So I've just been super sick. And I even missed a TV taping recently as well, which I was super bummed about. I took a Friday off E-League. I couldn't do the show because my eye, this entire side of my face was like swollen. My eye was sealed shut, so they didn't want to put me on TV because it would scare the kids, you know. So anyway, it's been tough, and but I'm back, and hopefully going to be regular and health permitting and everything else. And there's been work as well while all that's been going on. But anyway, let's get into it. So the thing I want to talk about today is academy teams. Academy teams are all the vogue now in Counter-Strike, aren't they? You've seen loads of people signing up for academy teams. We've been here before, of course. We've had academy sides back in the previous CS bubble. Everyone was getting one. And the reason for that, of course, well, we're going to go into that. But you'll notice that they got rid of them because when the money dried up, it wasn't worth keeping them on. And that's quite specific to the reasons why people keep academy teams in Counter-Strike and just in esports in general. Now, the reaction to this coming from players and on, you know, Reddit and other popular forums pretty much comes from the CSL ruling that they made, as you can see, not that long ago. And this is the tournament ruling on academy teams. Now, recently, WISA have said that if you own multiple teams, you've got 18 months to divest yourself of ownership. And they obviously, academy teams kind of seem to have fallen through that loophole, you know, because like, or fallen into a loophole, I should say, because academy teams, you know, are generally considered a good thing. What could possibly be wrong with that? Well, I'm going to tell you why, but thankfully, ESL are on the same page as me. You know, a lot of the videos I do are about conflict of interest, you know, the petty corruption of esports. Those videos tend to tank and don't get a lot of views because no one really cares, honestly. I've said this. For a lot of people, esports is a big fireworks display and a distraction, and no one really, you know, those people don't really think about competitive integrity or stopping corruption and this kind of thing. That's up to a very select hardcore few. And those people I have a lot of respect and time for because they see the bigger picture. So anyway, you'll be one of the probably 11,000 people that click on this video. And thanks very much for doing so. But anyway, ESL came out and said, during the past few days, several academy teams signed up for ESL 1 qualification tournaments. ESL 1 being their big tournament in Cologne. We would like to further clarify the eligibility of those teams in ESL 1 tournaments and its qualifiers. The license rules of ESL 1 are clear on the fact that each organization and its legal entity can only acquire one license per tournament, which involves its qualifiers. Therefore, it is not allowed that an organization's academy team will participate in an ESL 1 tournament or qualifier if another team of the organization has been invited to the main event, another team of the organization has been invited to the close qualifier, or another team of the organization has signed up for the same qualifier. A special exception to this can only be made if the organization in question provides a written confirmation that at least 4 weeks ahead of the part of the competition, including the main team, the academy team will either be sold or their contracts will be terminated in order for them to participate with a new organization and under a new name. The restriction for the academy teams falls away if the invitation for the main team gets declined or is otherwise voided. Now, what could be wrong with that? I mean, that's exactly what you want, right? Like, they're saying we want to minimize the involvement of teams, as in, you know, you don't have Fnatic Team 1, Fnatic Team 2, Fnatic Team 3 all in the same qualifiers, especially for big tournaments, obviously. And they're also saying, but, you know, look, you've got 4 weeks. If the team, if you want to do right by these players and you can sell them on, or you're going to terminate their contracts, we'll still let them play. It's not about the players. It's about the organizations. Now, I did notice there was a few players getting humpty about this. They started having a little bit of a chops on, and here was one of them. And I'm going to give you the caveat that Golden, the player, he actually, just in case you couldn't figure it out, he plays for a Fnatic Academy side. So I wonder if he has a slightly biased perspective on this, perhaps. But here he is, Golden. I understand the rule ESL made, but if you are going to have such a rule, then you need to apply it to everyone, same ownership in your leagues. Well, yeah, okay, I agree with you in principle there, Golden, but let's also just take a look at this. There is one thing that in terms of potential collusion... Right, so let's talk about ES Force. I don't give a fuck, I'll name them. ES Force is going up, buying up everything, and buying up all the teams. And at least on paper, they're trying to make it look like that's not what they're doing, that they don't have a controlling influence. They do. They're just good with the paperwork. You know, they're calling it, we're buying the marketing rights. It's all bullshit, it's all smoke and mirrors, right? But the bottom line is that at least there's partial ownership, there's separate management, you know, separate players, sometimes separated geographically, you know, there's not as much involvement as an academy side, which has the same management, the same organization, the same budget probably, the same sponsors. They're pretty much just an extension of an existing brand, and you could assume that the brand would have complete control from the same people that control the main team. Therefore, the potential for collusion and corruption and dubious things is far greater. And this is a very easy thing to see, and it's a very easy fix. And the rules that ESL have brought in fall in line with major sports competitions all around the world. The penalty for being an academy side are these stipulations. Don't like it? Get good. Get picked up by an organization that's willing to front you and fund you and send you to major tournaments. It's that simple. I don't have any truck with players complaining about this. You get the benefits of being in an academy side. If that's all you can realistically aim for, shut the fuck up. If you can get into a real team and go to tournaments and qualify, what are you doing in an academy side? That's not their purpose. Now let's talk about what an academy side is designed to do. It's two major things, all right? An academy side... Actually, just... In case Golden thinks I'm digging him out there, I did put this link to one side. So just to show you, I'm not just singling him out. There was a game, all right, where Fnatic, in a qualifier, did play Fnatic Academy. Should never happen. This is in the Star Ladder I-League, and it was a qualifier. But there's no question of anything dubious going on there. It was a pretty close game, and Golden certainly played his best. But I just want to say that, obviously, there are some teams out there that if the management came to you and said, hey, our main team's playing you the other day, we want them to qualify for this tournament, we think they got a chance of winning it realistically. So just so we're clear, we pay your fucking salary. You will lose this game. You will not try as hard. You know, don't make it obvious. If it's your salary... and you're in an academy side, and the chances of you getting another salary at another team aren't there, you might not, you know, fall into the corruption trap, Golden, and do what your boss tells you, and you might be willing to walk away from a paycheck. I guarantee you there's plenty you wouldn't, brother. So I'm not digging you out in particular, but definitely, you know, this is a problem, all right? So anyway, back to what I was going to talk about. What do academy sides aim to achieve? All right, what are they for? What is their purpose? Well, in principle, it falls into two major groups. There's lots of other little things, but these are the big things. So the first one is to develop young and experienced talent, right? And that can be, you know, altruistic, right? Some academies and some sports will frame it that way. But generally what it's about is you get young and inexperienced talent, you develop them, you see if they're good, and it's with a view, more often than not, if they are good enough to be a desirable inclusion for another team, well, you've got them under contract. So any team that wants them would now owe you money. They would have to buy them out, provided, of course, you've negotiated that type of clause in the contract. So harvesting talent from a region like this can be quite lucrative. You know, I'm not saying you have to be cynical about it. But basically, you can just have this group of talent there, and you've got five players, and you're like, oh, you know what? One player is indeed emerging as somebody that we could use as a substitute, maybe. We could maybe even bring them through. Next time there's contract negotiations with your players, if you've got a player who's holding out for lots of money of similar ability, it behooves an organization to get rid of that guy and just bring in the player of similar ability from the academy side for a lot less salary. This is how it works in real sports. Now, the other thing, of course, is to expand brand awareness by having more reach. And in particular, when you compete in lower tiered competitions, you give people at like an amateur level and a knowledge of your brand, a knowledge of what you do. They obviously can, you know, cheer for that brand in tournaments where they wouldn't perhaps ordinarily be able to do so. It's just good branding. You know, you could, you know, if it's why MGOs, multi-gaming organizations, have multiple teams in multiple games. You want to expand, and an academy side is a very easy and cost-effective way of doing that. And that's so it is for real sports as well, and sports brands and sports franchises. But what are they actually being used for in esports? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? People in esports, they'll just take the piss. That's a British colloquialism, if you're not familiar with it. To take the piss, to extract the urine, is to basically make a mockery of something by taking liberties. So that's what people in esports do all the time. In fact, that's pretty much how esports works, actually. If people didn't take the royal piss, then we wouldn't have any successful esports brands. It's all built on bullshit. I'd like to tell you it isn't, but I can't lie, I've been here long enough. So what do they actually get used for? Well, the crucial thing that they get used for is to increase the chances of winning a tournament. Now, what do I mean by that? Because it's two separate teams, Richard. Yes, but it's the brand, and trust me, if there can be any jiggery pokery going on to get, like, let's say you have two teams entering into a competition. And again, well, it was Fnatic Academy and Fnatic, right? And they play each other, and let's just say they play each other early in the tournament. Again, you perhaps management might say, look, let the main team through. Come on, yeah. And that'll happen. Or let's say, for example, it's not that kind of tournament and they're on a collision, you know, it's just a qualifier. Well, let's say the academy side qualifies. You've still got a team going to that major event. You still get the exposure. So you're getting twice the chance to go where other organizations that can't afford academy side or don't want to cheese the rules in that fashion, they don't do it. And they don't have that luxury. On top of that, of course, there's even, without the rules that we have in place about movement of players, you know, you could beef up your academy side. Oh, what's that? I only have to have three players? I'll just put the two best players from the side that didn't qualify into the academy team, wink, wink, to increase our chances of winning the thing they flukily qualified for. So it's garbage. Right there, this is what people in esports do. It happens. There's examples out there. We'll get to some in a minute. The other thing that they get used for in esports, and this is cheeky as fuck, is just to absorb upcoming talent in a region to stop them going into the hands of competitors. So what they do is they'll be like, oh, look, there's some good young players over there, and there's a couple of brands out here in our region, in our prime territory, where we get all of the marketing budget because we're the best team. We don't want that talent getting developed. So we go to them and we give them a bumfuck contract, something absolute shit and low level, and we say, hey, you represent our brand now, and there's a chance you might go into the major team and the main team and go to all these tournaments and everything else. And then they just sit there and fester and they don't get any support. But the point is, you're keeping the players well away from the opposition. And if the opposition do decide that they want the players, well, guess fucking what? You don't get them for free anymore. Now you gotta buy, and now we can inflate our prices. If we think there's a genuine talent that's gonna make you challenge our number one status in the region, maybe chief some of our sponsors. Well, fuck that noise. You're not getting the player unless you're willing to pay something that would make up for the loss. So it's a very cynical way of controlling talent in a region. Another thing is, and people don't really think about this, but I've seen it done at various points in esports, not necessarily in the modern iteration of Counter-Strike. But they create a contract gulag, which, and I've used this phrase a lot. I hope it takes off. The contract gulag is basically where an organization has you locked into a contract you can't get out of and can pretty much do whatever they want to you. They can just say, well, you're not on the team anymore. Now you're a streamer for our brand, hit you with a bunch of unreasonable demands and an unreasonable buyout fee. And you've just got to suck it the fuck up watching the little hourglass of your career just drip away one grain of sand at a time. But here's the other thing they can do now, right? Because they've got this academy side. Well, now, oh, yeah, absolutely. You'll still be playing, but you'll be playing in our academy side. So let's say you're a player and you want to have an argument with management about your value, your rights, your money. Well, all right, guess what's happening? You're out of the team and we're going to send you to play with these shitters in the academy team. And it's going to ruin your stock and you're going to have a terrible time. But we look like we're doing nothing wrong. We look like, hey, the guy just wasn't playing well enough. So we wanted to do him a favor and put him in the academy side. It's just another way of potentially controlling players. And crucially, and we're going to segue into a segment about this now, fixing outcomes for the main team. I mean, come on, guys, let's be fucking real here. If you think it's never happened, you're out of your motherfucking mind. I can tell you that even teams in the past that have had the same sponsor going into qualifiers, maximize our exposure. You know, if two sponsor X teams meet early in a tournament, if there's a way to avoid that, that's preferable to the sponsor. Might even give you a little bit of a bonus there. Some people know exactly what I'm fucking talking about, but I'm not going to name names. It's ancient history, guys, isn't it? It's all ancient history. So let's talk about an example. Right, because sister teams, right, which is like another way of saying, you know, it's not really an academy because they're all good players in their own right, but we just want to double down, spend a lot of money and have more exposure and control more talent. So they get called sister teams, which is a really nice, benign way of phrasing it. But it's been a nightmare in other esports in the past. I mean, I'll give you an example from League of Legends. League of Legends, they mismanage that fucking product all the time. You know, when they talk about competitive integrity while failing to, you know, even consistently enforce rules region to region. Go look at what's going on with Tainted Minds right now, or rather that's kind of passed over. And just look at the bullshit that's going on in the Oceanic region for Riot Games. Something that would never fly in NA. Certainly didn't fly for fucking Renegades. You know, it's complete nonsense. They don't consistently enforce the rules, but they say they're committed to competitive integrity. Well, first thing you do is you consistently enforce the rules. But there was this thing that went on in Korea. Now, Korea is a fucking law unto itself. If you want to get any influence in the Korean scene whatsoever, you're kissing Kesper's fucking papal ring. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to get ostracized and ignored by absolutely everyone. If Kesper deems you to be persona non grata, you're pretty much not having a good time in South Korea. And obviously there's other power players, OGN being one of them. Now I'll take you back to OGN Spring 2014. Feel free to Google this if you're from a Counter-Strike background. Basically what happened was SKTS and SKTK were in this situation where SKT... Right, so let me get this. Let me get the order of this right. There was basically a tiebreaker to get out of the group, but the tiebreaker only came around after SKTS mysteriously lost to the like worst team in the whole tourney, Prime Optimus. It was 2-0. So for SKTK to get out of this group, two things had to happen. Well, rather to have the tiebreaker, which would be against SKTS, right? Two things had to happen. It had to be that SKTS lost to Prime Optimus 2-0, mysteriously happened despite the disparity on both sides, and SKT had to beat SKTS in a best of one, which happened. Now, it was so contentious at the time. There was so many allegations about it being dodgy, about it being a match fix, that actually Kesper got involved, and Kesper said, fuck it, guys, we're going to release the files, we're going to release the tapes. and that's what this is about. It's on Inven, just so you can see it. Obviously, you can't read Korean, most likely, unless you can congrats for being multilingual. But this basically says here, I'll give you a translation, a crude English translation of the headline, thanks to the power of Google Translate. And basically what it says is, Kesper responds to the SKT civil war, they say here. They are going to release voice chat to clarify that no collusion took place. Of course, this is just the SKT and SKTK and SKTS game. It doesn't do anything about the Prime Optimus game that was 2-0. So look, I'll be completely flippant here. I'm not even saying that those guys fixed it. I mean, honestly, if I had to fucking just place a bet, big organization like SKT, lots of money at stake, you know, probably, all right? I know enough about the way the world works now as an old man, but I'm not saying it did definitely 100% happen, you know, that's for only a handful of people will ever know. But here's the thing, like, when you're in that position, I mean, that's generally just bad tournament organization. That should never happen. It just should never happen. I think this is correct. I think OGN actually did limit the amount of teams as a result of that. So yeah, it got 100% confirmed. Yeah, that did happen. But yeah, it was actually announced that OGN, as a result of kind of this wild speculation that happened, were actually going to limit the number of teams per organization to one. And loads of people got mega upset about this. They just got mega upset about it. Why? Why? You know, it's just idiots. It's just idiots. They don't see the bigger picture, of course. Why would they? So this is an ongoing issue, right? Like, and this is something that's happened in other esports. And I think because it's existed in other esports and shit like that has been allowed to happen, people are just like, oh man, come on. You think these players would ever fix a game? Yeah, I do. I think that and a whole fucking lot worse goes on in esports every fucking day. I mean, I get sent emails of just, I think this happened, and hi, I'm a player at this organization, and my manager asked me to do it. I can't publish any of this shit because it's not enough. And it's, you know, you have to build a case, and I don't have enough hours in the day to uncover every corrupt facet of esports. I don't. And there's much rejoicing that I don't. Now, the journalists don't really care to, because it's not good for business. I'm in a pretty unassailable position right now. It's not that I blame them. We all got to eat. But holy fucking shit. When people say, you think these players are fixing it? Heard the same thing. I buy power. Heard it millions of times. Trust me. Where there's money to be made, greed, stupidity, you name it. So anyway, right. Back on point before I ramble off into a dark corner and people go, God, his videos are so long. He could have just said this in 5 minutes. So the reason I'm bringing this up is, you know, just recently, Spirit are probably the latest team to get involved in these shenanigans. So this was the announcement. Spirit sign Academy team. Oh, wow. They've signed a team formerly known as Elite. Good on you, Spirit. Look, all these, like, you know, managers, yeah, the roster consists of talented players and experienced coach, and we want to unlock the potential, and yeah, aren't we fucking great? Player called Nickelback, slightly upsetting, but anyway, and look what's happened just mysteriously as a result of them picking up this Academy side. Let's go to Liquipedia. I believe there's some sort of qualifier going on, isn't there? Oh, it's the CIS Minor Championship 2017 closed qualifier. And look at these teams. High teams with one team. What the funk? It's Team Spirit and Team Spirit Academy. They've just doubled their chances. This is garbage. This shouldn't be allowed. And this is for a fucking minor, you know. This is a minor qualifier. I hope Valve, I hope PGL, anybody with some common sense prevents this from happening. This has got to stop. This isn't fair to every other fucking team in the qualifier. And look, it's honestly, you know, I'm sure these guys think they're getting a good deal. But dudes, this is not cool. And look, I'm not even going to get into the whole fact that it's from the CIS region where Oh, I'm not opening that can of worms, but let's just say there's some dubious things happening out there on the reg with money. Of course there is. What the fuck? What the fuck are we talking about? Can we be adults for a fucking second? So that is ridiculous, and that shouldn't be allowed to happen. Now I'm going to show you. Oh, Richard, but you know this is esports, and you're just a cynic. All right, look, okay. Let's have a look at real sports, right? We love to take our cues from real sports, don't we? We love it. Everybody loves it. Everybody, argument every 3 months. How do we spell it? Well, are we a real sport? You know, the same shit just recycled because we've got newcomers coming in all the time trying to pretend they're here. They were here at the start and trying to dictate the rules to everyone else. Fuck them. But this is how it works. Barcelona B. Barcelona. We all know Barcelona, yeah? Great soccer team. Barca fucking Lona. Known for it. And they've got a B team, right? Football Club Barcelona B. Now, in Spain, here's the rule. Reserve teams in Spain play in the same league system as the senior team. You're like, oh, see, Richard, you're wrong. Rather than in a reserve team. But they must play at least one level below their main side. And as a result of this, Barcelona B are ineligible for promotion to La Liga, and they cannot play in the Spanish Cup, the Copa del Rey, the Cup of Kings. And you can see, look, they finished in positions where they can get promoted, but they just can't get promoted. They're not allowed. What's that? You finish first, tough. You can't go. You'll never be in Primera. You will never get promoted. And why do they do that? Why do they do that? Well, they do that because it's 6 free points for fucking Barcelona every season, right? If, like, let's say the last game of the season scheduled is Barcelona B versus Barcelona, and Barcelona need a win to take the title over Real Madrid. What do you think's going to happen? You think Barcelona B, the B team for fucking Barcelona, are going to make themselves the most hated men in Spain by beating their parent team in the final game of the season to deliver the fucking title to their hated rivals? Do you think that would happen? Of course, it would never happen. No one would ever do it. So that's why people step in and say, look, we can see that coming. So let's fucking stop that. Let's nip that one right in the fucking bud. So look, I like the idea of developing talent, even though a lot of the time that's not what people are doing in esports. I like the idea of academy sides. But if you're in an academy side, you're going to be playing shit tournaments well away from your parent team. That's the drill, that's the discipline, that's the payoff for being an academy side. And if you're not willing to accept it, you need to not sign academy contracts. So there you go. So there's my thoughts on academy teams. I'll see you on the next video, unless I get fucking sick again, in which case, see you in a month. All right, you take care. Bye.